From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. If you suffered a loss from the 2016 pink salmon disaster, you should have received an application to file a claim for a share of the $56 million in federal relief funds. If you haven't gotten that application in the mail yet, better check with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. We have a report on how that relief money is going to be divvied up. Managers predicted a bumper crop of chum salmon in southeast Alaska, but instead, it's been a very disappointing season. And the price of those fish is way down as well. And finally, some opponents of the Pebble Mine Project point to a letter by Governor Mike Dunleavy dealing with the mine. They say that letter is in conflict with the governor's official position as being neutral in the highly controversial Bristol Bay mining debate. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Applications should now be in hand for Alaska salmon fishermen and processors hurt by the 2016 pink salmon fishery failure. NOAA Fisheries last month approved $56.3 million in relief funds for fishery failures in Kodiak, Prince William Sound, Chignik, Lower Cook Inlet, South Alaska Peninsula, Southeast Alaska, and Yakutat. Funds are being distributed by the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission. Here's a look at how that money will be divvied up. Salmon permit holders who show losses from the pink bust will split $31.8 million based on average dockside values over even years starting in 2006. Skippers are responsible for compiling crew data, and their application deadline is October 31st. Crew members then can apply for their payments through January 31st. Alaska processors also must apply by October 31st to receive their share of $17.7 million in relief funds. Processing workers will be eligible for an equal share of 15% of an eligible processor's total disaster payment. Representative Louise Stutz of Kodiak helped push the funds through.
It affects all the CAMI workers, all the processors, all the businesses in the community. I mean, this is a trickle-down effect.
Details are still being worked out on distribution of $2.4 million to municipalities that were affected by the disaster. A portion of the funds also go to various projects. $3.63 million is set aside for pink salmon research. Of that, $450,000 goes to Kodiak's Katoi Bay Hatchery for the saltwater marking sampling project. The Southeast Alaska Coastal Monitoring Survey will get $680,000 to help with pink salmon forecasting. And finally, $2.5 million will go to the Alaska Hatchery Research Project. The relief funds should be in hand 6 to 8 weeks after the application is accepted. If you've got questions, you can call your local office of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
The fishing season for fall chum salmon in southeast Alaska is just getting going. But earlier runs of summer chum this year turned out to be unexpectedly very poor. As Angela Denning reports, hatchery managers in the region are struggling to get enough eggs for raising future generations of fish.
Chum salmon are usually a staple species for Southeast Alaska fishermen, but summer harvests this year came in well below average. By late August, the region-wide harvest totaled around 5 million fish, just about half of the 10-year average. And managers weren't expecting just an average year. They predicted another bumper crop of 18 million fish.
It looks like our overall chum salmon harvest is going to be quite poor this year.
Andrew Piston is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Pink and Chum Salmon Project Leader in Southeast.
It's definitely been a surprisingly poor year for hatchery chum salmon in particular.
Most of the region's chums come from hatcheries, and three regional nonprofits are seeing only about a quarter of the fish they expected. One program based in Ketchikan, SARA, or Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, saw only 20% of their 4 million chum forecast.
We've had a very tough season.
David Landis is SARA's general manager. He says their hardest hit sites were where they collect salmon eggs.
We're struggling to get our brood stock in the quantity that we need to have for a full release next year.
To get more eggs, SARA is experimenting with a marine pen at a new site instead of their usual practice of capturing fish after they enter freshwater streams.
We're actually having these fish right in salt water and waiting until they are essentially ready to spawn in salt water and then extracting them out and taking the eggs that way.
SARA doesn't expect it to be as effective as their usual method. A hatchery program based in Juneau, Douglas Island Pink and Chum, or DIPAC, is also seeing 20% of their forecast.
Boy, just kind of a striking poor return.
That's Eric Prestigard, the executive director of DIPAC. He says the company is scrambling to get enough eggs. They're also coming up about $2 million short from cost recovery goals. That's money made from harvesting the fish to cover the cost of operations.
We'll obviously dip in the reserve some. At the same time, I think we may look at, delaying some capital projects.
Prestigard says DIPAC is hoping to get some eggs from a Sitka-based hatchery program. That's NSERA, or the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. NSERA saw about 30% of its expected chum return at a release site in Deep Inlet near Sitka, and 50% at Southeast Cove near Cake. That's enough to possibly share eggs with DIPAC. But General Manager Steve Reifenstuhl says it's still a bad year.
This is very difficult on the fisherman side of the equation for these forecasts that have come in so short.
Financially, NSERA is having less trouble than the other hatcheries because of an unexpectedly large fall chum return last year at their crawfish inlet site. Reifenstuhl says the return was so huge that it covered NSERA's budget for this year and part of next year.
We didn't even have a cost recovery goal this year because we made so much money last year.
Last year, many chums returned as three-year-olds, although most chums wait until they're four. So fishery managers predicted that this year's four-year-old return would be very strong. But Fish and Game's Piston says it didn't work out that way.
Kind of starting to look more like for those brood years, just a lot of those fish just simply returned as three-year-olds. And it's not panning out into large numbers of four-year-olds.
Other factors as to why this year's chum return is so poor are unknown. Hatchery managers are only able to make some guesses. NSERA's Reifenstuhl believes this year could be a sign of what's to come.
Are we in a one-year event, poor survival on chum salmon, or has global warming, ocean warming, ocean acidification, have those things caught up with us? And we're in for sort of a bad 5 years, the life cycle of salmon? Or is it even worse than that?
DIPAC's Prestigard acknowledges that the climate might have something to do with it, but thinks it also might just be a weird year.
My gut hunch is that, this is going to be a year that we scratch our heads down here in Southeast for some time to come. It's just, it didn't make a lot of sense. It still doesn't make any sense to me. So I doubt we'll find a culprit.
And Sarah's Landis puts it this way.
The ocean is a big place, and it's pretty difficult to figure out everything that these fish experience during the course of their lives.
All the hatchery managers say they'll be crunching numbers and comparing notes this winter to try to figure it out. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And as a side note, Southeast Alaska chum salmon prices were reported at 55 to 60 cents. That's down from last year's average of 87 cents a pound.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
And finally this week, officially, Governor Mike Dunleavy is neutral on the Pebble Mine. But a letter he wrote to a potential investor in the controversial project calls his neutrality into question.
It's like a PR letter from Pebble.
That's Pebble opponent Norm Van Vactor's reaction to the letter Dunleavy wrote last month to the CEO of a Canadian company called Wheaton Precious Metals. Earlier in July, the Natural Resources Defense Council, along with Bristol Bay tribal leaders and commercial fishermen, pressed Wheaton not to invest in Pebble, which would be built at the headwaters of rivers that flow into the bay. Dunleavy wrote Wheaton to counter that letter. He said the state has a keen interest in the project as the landowner. Quote, "I want to assure you the state will stand by those who invest in Alaska," he wrote. Norm Van Vactor is president of the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation, which staunchly opposes the Pebble Mine. He says the letter suggests Dunleavy is overly involved in Pebble's quest for investors.
It's just like, holy smokes, you know, where does it stop? I mean, is he the governor of the Pebble Partnership, or is he the governor of the state of Alaska, and should he be at all considering the concerns of the people of Bristol Bay?
Dunleavy spokesperson Matt Shukaro says the governor's point wasn't to support Pebble, but to stand against the tactics environmental groups use to discourage investment in Alaska.
For outside organizations that make veiled threats at potential investors, the governor is wanting to send a message that Alaska is open for business.
Pebble Partnership is seeking a federal permit for the mine. If granted, Pebble would still have to obtain state permits and the approval of the Alaska legislature.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Angela Denning at KFSK in Petersburg, Liz Ruskin with Alaska Public Media based in Washington, D.C., and Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch. Good luck fishing, everyone. Be careful. And remember, life vests really do save lives. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.